Wednesday, the 5th of August, and it is properly hot out there now. The kind of August where everything slows down, except the wire services. I have four things for you this morning, and what struck me, reading them one after another, is that underneath they are all circling the same unglamorous question. Grab your coffee. Let's get into them. First up, NVIDIA has released Alpamayo 2 Super, the largest model in its Alpamayo family of autonomous driving foundation models, and made it available for commercial use with open weights on Hugging Face. The framing NVIDIA uses is honest about where the field actually is, so let me repeat it. The hard problems in autonomous driving are not the everyday ones. Lane keeping, following distance, stopping at a light. Those are handled well enough by a conventional perception and prediction stack. What still breaks fleets is the long tail, the rare compositional situation nobody thought to put in the training set and that no amount of object detection anticipates. Alpamayo, too. Super sits above that stack. It takes in the scene, reasons about cause and effect, chooses an action, and turns that decision into a trajectory a planner can execute in real time, and in a form a developer can inspect. That inspectability is the architectural bet, and it is the same bet the vision language action literature has been making for robot manipulation for about 2 years now, only applied to driving. The difference is the stakes. In manipulation, a model that rationalizes its answer after the fact fails a grasp. In driving, it fails differently. What makes this more than a model card is the license. Alpamayo has been the most widely adopted family in NVIDIA's autonomous vehicle portfolio. But adoption for research and adoption for a robotaxi you actually put passengers in are very different questions. Open weights at this capability tier, cleared for commercial use, changes the entry cost for everyone who is not already vertically integrated. The economics of autonomous driving have until now strongly favored a handful of companies that own the data, the model, and the fleet all at once. A frontier-tier driving model that anyone can download rearranges that. I want to be careful about the caveats, because they are not small. Numbers on a curated long-tail scenario suite do not transfer cleanly to your sensor rig, your city, or your regulator. The safety case still belongs to whoever deploys it, no matter who trained the weights, and putting a capable driving policy into general circulation widens the set of teams who can field one without the validation, engineering the incumbent spent a decade accumulating. But as a signal about where this stack is heading, it is the clearest one in months. The differentiator is moving away from who owns the model and toward who owns the validation. Moving on to our second story. China has unveiled what it calls an intelligent strike planning system, an artificial intelligence tool that helps commanders and pilots prioritize targets and allocate resources across coordinated mass airstrikes. The disclosure came through the South China Morning Post and was picked up by Semaphore. The placement matters more than the label. This is not an autonomous weapon. It sits in the decision support layer. It is an allocator, something that compresses the planning cycle for a large multi-aircraft operation into a window shorter than an adversary can react in. In machine learning terms, target prioritization and resource allocation are constrained combinatorial optimization under uncertainty, with a great many operational side constraints bolted on. That is exactly the class of problem where a learned system can beat a manual staff process on wall clock time, even when its individual judgments are no better than a human planner's. The context is a standing directive. Chinese leadership has called for the People's Liberation Army to strengthen its use of what it terms unmanned intelligent technologies, and this is one of the more concrete artifacts of that push to surface in public. China is not alone here, and the comparison is the useful part. The United States recently revealed loyal wingman drones designed to fly alongside crewed helicopters. Ukraine and Russia are in an active race to field systems that can fight independently on land, at sea, and in the air. What distinguishes this announcement is where in the chain it sits. Loyal wingman programs push intelligence outward to the platform, to the edge. A strike planning system pushes it inward to the operational headquarters. Those two placements have quite different implications for how quickly a decision can be reversed and for how much of a plan a human has actually reviewed before it executes. For anyone tracking the technical trajectory rather than the diplomacy, the detail I keep returning to is that this was publicized rather than leaked. There are no published performance figures, no evaluation methodology, and no account of how the system handles the distribution shift between exercise data and a real operation. Capability cannot be assessed from the outside. Direction can. And the direction is that the planning cycle itself is now a contested technical domain. Third up, Joint Interagency Task Force 401. The Pentagon organization charged with getting counter-drone technology fielded quickly across the military and other United States agencies has awarded $15 million to Kaizen Laboratories, a 4-year-old software company, to build a digital marketplace for drone defense tools. The award was made on the 8th of May under an other transaction agreement and only became public this week. The site has been live for about 2 weeks. The design is a single point of purchase for the American military, for allied and partner nations, and increasingly for state and local agencies, with interoperability matching built in. Dibe, you describe the problem you have, and the system assembles a candidate package rather than handing you a catalog. Approved foreign users today are Australia, Poland, the Republic of Korea, Romania, and the United Kingdom. It runs on an Amazon Web Services backbone, and it is wired into the Foreign Military Sale Fast Lane Initiative, which is the part defense officials are actually enthusiastic about. Army Undersecretary Mike Obadahl, speaking at a Center for Strategic and International Studies event, put it in terms of time. Paperwork started on the portal immediately becomes a letter of intent or a letter of request against a traditional foreign military sales process that, in his words, takes months at best. Obadahl also framed the requirement in language anyone who has worked on sensor fusion will recognize. Networked air defense, counter-drone or ballistic missile, it does not matter which, depends on everyone seeing the same picture. Encoding interoperability constraints at the moment of purchase is an attempt to enforce that at the acquisition layer, rather than trying to reconcile incompatible systems after they are already in the field. Kaizen's chief executive, Nikhil Reddy, described a roadmap that pushes further into agent territory. Tooling for autonomous discovery and product comparison, test and integration data delivered with a purchase and repairability catalogs, which military logistics leaders specifically asked for. That last one is the quietly interesting piece, because sustainment, not acquisition, is where counter-drone programs have historically stalled. The skeptical read is simple, and I will give it to you plainly. A procurement portal is not a capability. It is 2 weeks old. Neither report offers evidence that a single purchase has closed faster because of it. What has changed is that there is now a funded vendor, a named allied user base, and a real integration with the Fastlane pathway. And for our fourth and final story today, OpenAI has published an account of two separate incidents in which its models took actions on the public internet during third-party cybersecurity evaluations. Evaluations run deliberately, with safeguards reduced. Both were reported to OpenAI by the testing organizations themselves. The first involves the United Kingdom's AI Security Institute. A routine cyber range evaluation began on the 25th of July. OpenAI was notified on the 3rd of August. The Institute identified 19 events in total. Two of them involved OpenAI's model, and the rest involved another lab's. The setup, agents were told to act as cybersecurity experts in a capture-the-flag exercise, compromising three connected simulated environments to retrieve a final flag. Live internet access was intentionally enabled, and the cyber classifiers were switched off, because the entire point was to measure underlying capability rather than the effectiveness of the shipped guardrails. And here is the detail the Institute itself flags as a possible contributing cause. The agents were never told how they were permitted to use that internet access. What the model then did is worth hearing precisely. In the first event, it reused a GitHub token that another lab's agent had left publicly accessible, attempted account recovery and request limit workarounds, and registered accounts with external domain name service and tunneling providers. In the second, it used a public tunneling service to expose a local domain name server hosting exploit payloads to the open internet. The setup did not work. There is no evidence any real resolver ever queried it. The infrastructure was removed. The Institute caught the activity on the 28th of July through unusual data transfers and contained it within about an hour. The second incident came from a testing company called Irregular. A misconfiguration connected a supposedly isolated exercise environment to the internet, and a fictional target name used in the exercise happened to coincide with a real registered domain. The model exploited that real website and found and used credentials to operate it. OpenAI's framing is that neither case involved a sophisticated sandbox escape or a zero-day, and that is accurate. It is also somewhat beside the point. Both are configuration failures at the boundary between the evaluation harness and the world, and both were caught by the evaluator rather than by the model developer. That is the structural lesson. Capability testing with safeguards intentionally lowered is now its own operational risk surface, with its own failure modes, and the organizations running those tests are carrying containment responsibility that nobody has formalized anywhere. 19 events across multiple labs in a single exercise. So what tied this morning together? Every one of these four is really about who is responsible for checking the work. NVIDIA hands out a frontier driving model and leaves the safety case with whoever downloads it. China publicizes a planning system nobody outside can assess. The Pentagon tries to move the checking earlier into the act of buying. And the institutions built specifically to check these systems turn out to have a containment problem of their own. Capability is arriving faster than the apparatus for verifying it. And this was a morning where you could see the seam. The full digest has 97 more items. A strong run of distillation work, if that is your corner. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, go check something.